FCUM Radio.
FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Anybody would have written this script with the exception of FC Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of This Club Is My Club. And, well, news last week that the club have received confirmation that the men's Northern Premier League season has now been curtailed with immediate effect. That's pretty much the end now for men's competition for this season. We still await further confirmation with regards to the women's team and the academy side of the club. But later in the show, we will be having reaction from FC United's first team manager, Neil Reynolds. But before that, we should be joined now down the other end of the phone by FC United board member, Adrian Seddon. Well, Adrian, a big thank you for joining us. And the inevitable's happened. I think this has it's been rumbling on now about how the season was going to be ending. I mean, what's your take on the whole thing?
Yeah, I think it was becoming inevitable, wasn't it, Ben? We desperately hoped we could come back to playing football. And I think it was right to wait for the government roadmap out of lockdown before we decided, because if they'd said you can play straight away with crowds, then we'd have looked a bit stupid if we'd already ended the season. But when you look at it, we can't meet up again until the end of March at the earliest. The players, you know, they haven't been together. I know we had that one silly week where we came back in December, but really they haven't been together throughout November, December, January and February now. So you couldn't just pick up and play football straight away. We'd need to have a mini pre-season. You'd be looking at a minimum of 3 weeks before you could play again. So that would be coming up towards the end of April before you could resume the league. And even at this stage, it looks like you wouldn't be able to have crowds in until probably the middle of May. So really, we've run out of time, I think, is the answer. We all wanted to come back, and it looks like we can come back, but unfortunately too late to have a meaningful season.
So we'll come back to what this all means on the footballing side, but how does this leave the club more generally when it comes to finances and season tickets and all that palaver?
Okay, well, financially, obviously, our players are all currently furloughed. The furlough scheme is guaranteed until the end of April. We await the budget next week, or maybe this week if you're listening to this, which we're sort of expecting that the furlough scheme will probably be extended for the leisure and hospitality business, which we are. So, you know, we're pretty sure that our player wages will be covered until the time they would run out anyway, the end of the season. So on that front, we'll just mothball the club effectively. Season tickets, we've had 5 home games. We were meant to have 21. If you remember last year, the board met to decide what to do about season tickets. And our terms and conditions of season tickets are that there's no guaranteed refund, you know, no matter how many games we've played. Last year, we looked at it and said, but with the number of free matches that you get with a season ticket, with only 6 being missed, we decided that season ticket holders had value for money. This year, they haven't had a value for money. So clearly, we're going to offer a refund. So what we'll do is offer a proportional refund. As I say, there has been 5 matches, but they'll get a proportional refund if they want. That will be going on the website on Monday, the details. We realise there's a lot of, and I've been reading social media, it's quite nice to see the amount of people that are saying, oh, I don't want my money back, you know, this is my club, I'm the owner of the club and I won't be asking my money back. But we don't want anyone to feel pressured to not asking for their money back. You're entitled to your money back. No questions asked. Some people might have financial difficulties. Some people will feel that they haven't had value for money. So absolutely do ask for your money back if you want it. So what we'll do, there'll be an email address to email in with a few details if you want your proportional refund, and we'll process that. Our staff, office staff, are currently furloughed, but they're working sort of one day a week. So it won't be a refund on the day you send the email. We'll probably do it every week or two in a batch. For those of you who really kindly want to leave your money with the club, that's fantastic. Thank you very much. And there won't be anything you need to do. So, I mean, I've read all the different ideas supporters have got about ways of donating the money back. But really, for something like this, we need to make it as simple as possible. And the way we're going to do it is that anyone who wants a refund can ask for one before the 31st of March. And at that point, we'll treat everybody that hasn't as a donation to the club.
And with regards to next season, there's ideas about early bird offer and that kind of thing. When can supporters get excited about next season and the possibility of doing the whole thing all over again?
Well, hopefully doing a little bit more next season than we did this season.
Absolutely, yeah.
let's not go for exactly the same things. We haven't set a date yet for putting season tickets on sale. You know, let's get this season dusted first, but we'll probably be looking at the middle of March is usually the time that we're putting season tickets on sale. So we'll put a big announcement out when we do. There's not going to be an early bird price offer. I don't think that's right for this football club. I think, you know, whether you buy right at the beginning or right at the end, it should be the same price. Effectively, you know, you can, there's a very low base rate for the season ticket, and we ask people if they want to put a donation in on top. So already you've got a lot of flexibility around the price. But we'll put it on sale probably middle of March, so look out for that.
We're going to be hearing from Neil Reynolds in a second or two to talk about, you know, next season and that kind of thing. I mean, how much planning's going into you know, the remainder of this season and next season for the club more generally, and bouncing into next year, hopefully with a crowd in the stadium?
Yeah, well, we're optimistic that we'll be allowed a crowd because obviously with the vaccine rollout, there's talk about full stadiums from the 21st of June, so that would be really welcome because that would tie in with the start of pre-season friendlies in July. We've gone and got ourselves reclassified, so if you remember there was this big problem that we had that with the COVID restrictions, our ground capacity was calculated on the lowest denominator in our league. We didn't agree with that. We were quite vocal about our disagreement that, you know, each stadium should be looked at individually. It was towards the end of December that the government relented, and we were told that we could have our stadium classified under, you know, as the COVID regulations for our stadium rather than for the league. So even if there are restrictions next year, we'll be allowed to bring in more fans than we did this year. So, you know, we're looking at over 1,000 fans next year, even with COVID restrictions, rather than the 600 we had this year. So that will be welcome. But we're hoping that it's going to be full stadiums. that's the plan. We're waiting to see what the league does. The league has certainly been is considering starting a couple of weeks earlier next year. So we have to be ready for that. I think Neil, he's the person who can go into it, but he's keen to have a slightly longer pre-season next year because the players haven't really played for a long period of time. So we'll probably be coming back a bit earlier than we have done in the past. Looking for an exciting pre-season schedule. You know, it's unfortunate with COVID that we probably can't go abroad this year again. Last year we were meant to go to Germany and we had to pull that because of the COVID pandemic. We'd quite like to have gone back to Germany again this year, but it's probably not going to happen. It's probably safer to stay in the UK. But, you know, I think we can still do an exciting pre-season friendly that, you know, if we can get the full stadiums again and people having beers and whatever in the stadium that fans want to go to and excited about.
And that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, when obviously I'll be talking to Neil about this season and the springboard of the FA Cup and the match against Warrington towards the end. How excited should fans be about next year? Not just about, you know, having more people in the stadium to sing with, but the standard of football over the last two seasons. Room for optimism for next year on the pitch?
Yeah, I think so. I think Neil's first task is to keep the nucleus of this squad together. He's been obviously having conversations with the players as we knew that this season was coming to a close. And I think he's quite optimistic. Now, you know, in non-league football, you're always going to have one or two players that move on. But I think the bulk of the squad can be kept. And then it's looking to bring in some additional players that are going to boost that. And I talked to Neil, myself, Neil and Paul Smith, the operations manager. We have a weekly meeting on a Tuesday where we discuss things. And I know some of the transfer targets that he's very optimistic of getting. And obviously, it's not for me to say it here, but they're exciting. And, you know, if we can get those transfer targets and bring them to boost the squad we've already got, I think we're on a really good shape for next season.
And obviously, that's the men's team. We should talk about other stuff that goes on at the club as well, and just an update for supporters. First of all, Vinny and the food hub, you know, does it continue?
Yeah, I think when we're in lockdown, then the need's higher than ever, isn't it? So, yeah, that's gone from strength to strength. They've got a really slick operation now that it's been going for nearly a year. There's no plans to finish that yet. This is there's still a big demand for the food hub, and it's great, isn't it? Because it's meant that the stadium isn't a white elephant, even when we've had no football and no functions and whatever else on. We've got the food hub, which is something we could all be proud of, I think. Also going on 6 days a week is the lateral COVID testing at the ground, so the function room's being used for that. We're now looking to carry that on until at least the end of March. So we had a contract till the end of February. That's going to be extended. And who knows, maybe it will be extended longer. So, you know, whilst we can't do our core activity of football and our core community work, we've managed to find other ways of helping the community out of the stadium. So that's really good, yeah, and that will continue.
Absolutely. And when it comes to the other footballing areas of the club as well, the academy and the women's side of things, we're not quite there yet with the women's game. We don't know where we are at the moment, as I understand.
Yeah, I think the National League, which is the step above the step we're in, have tweeted recently that they're hoping to get back in April. So we've got to be optimistic that if the league above are coming back, then there's scope for us to come back as well. We had the same as with the men's team. We had an FA survey to fill out, and it was a slightly different survey. But one of the questions we were asked was, would we be happy to play on into June for the women's team? And having spoken to Cam and Paul Smith, the operations manager, we answered that we would be. So I think there's more scope with the women to play through the summer if needs be. I think there's less games to play. They've got smaller leagues, so there's not so much catch up as there's the men's. And with the situation with contracts and everything, it's not the same problems that we've got there. I think we can play on into June and hopefully get that league finished. So yeah, fingers crossed. We've not heard anything concrete, but if the league above are looking to play on, we're hoping that our league will as well.
And the academy side of things as well?
Yeah, so we're obviously our education provider, SCL. We're in discussions with them at the moment. You know, schools can come back on the 8th of March, but we're not classified as a school, so there's a little bit of difference between that. We're hoping, I think at the moment, that they should probably be able to come back after the Easter vacations, so that's the plan. And again, I think we were asked by the FA how would we like to play out the season with the academy, and we said that we'd be happy to play on in the summer with them as well. So fingers crossed they can have some football and they should be back studying at Broadhurst Park shortly and playing and training.
Oh, great stuff. And final question really, Adrian. I mean, you know, I'm going to reminisce a little bit with Neil in a second. But, you know, when we look back at this season, you know, given all the problems that we've had as a country, we could look back at some high points, can't we, with regards to the FA Cup and, you know, that game I mentioned there in the league against Warrington. And what I'm trying to say is I just can't wait for next season now when we can have more occasions like that. But with a lot more people in the ground, fingers crossed.
Yeah, I think, listen, the first thing is it's hugely disappointing that the season's over. We haven't finished what we started and we're all absolutely devastated about that, really, 2 years in a row. But I think, you know, we've got to let the dust settle. And when it does settle, when we look back at this season, there's a lot to be proud of. That run to the first round of the FA Cup, it's only the third time we've ever had it. It was huge for us to be showcased on the BBC, and I know that they had 1.3 million people watching the game. I mean, that's incredible for us to seeing the ground. I was there for a few days before the game, and I remember seeing the fans coming to the ground to dress it up, you know, with all the flags and scarves, and there was, you know, a real disappointment in their faces. They knew they wouldn't be there for the game, but a real pride about their club. And I think that's what we need to take from this season, a real sense of pride of what we've achieved. in the middle of the worst ever pandemic, we were able to play football. We were able to get 600 people in to games. Now, I know we had to lock out the best part of 1,000 people, and I'm really sorry to those that we had to lock out of Broadhurst Park this year. And it wasn't nice, you know, to turn people away. But we were able to get football on. There was some incredible work done by volunteers such as Pete Shaw, for example, who did all our COVID guides to make sure that we were within all the restrictions, everything. He did a big amount of work on that. The people who worked in the office, people like Alan Murray, who did a lot of support to our staff who were furloughed on the accounts. The people who dressed up the stadium, I mean, you know, for example, the advertising wall that's been done, I saw, you know, so many people worked on that and kept the stadium tidy during this period. You know, everyone who on the match days, who ran a match day, you know, all the volunteers who work around the match, all the staff, the office staff. It seemed like almost every week we were having to change what we did. If you remember, we started being allowed to serve alcohol in the function room and in the SMRE bar. Then we had to invest in a load of chairs and tables and put them outside in the stands because we weren't allowed to serve indoors.
I tell you what, Adrian, sorry to interrupt, but I think that's one of the innovations which should continue, actually. I quite enjoyed that piazza feel.
I think for the pre-season friendlies, if we're allowed nice crowds and everything, that would be fantastic in the sun. I'm not sure. I mean, we never got to experience it in the middle of January when it's
no, we didn't.
A Tuesday night game. In the middle of January, we'll see if you're as keen on on that. But yeah, you know, there's so many people did so much for this football club this season. And on the field, yeah, we got to the first round of the FA Cup. Let's not forget that goal from Finlay Sinclair Smith that got us to that first round, you know, last minute winner. And how crazy that was, the scenes were after that. Yeah, the Warrington game. The two friendlies against Clitheroe, which were probably the most unfriendly friendlies you'll ever play. Renault's first trophy, the Manchester Premier Cup trophy against Trafford that we arranged we both wanted to play that final. We were told we couldn't, so we played it anyway. You know, there's a lot to look back on this season. We played 23 matches from those strange pre-season games that were closed doors to the big FA Cup tie, and it even we ended in a bizarre way. I think for this season, the way we ended it is probably quite apt, that we came back for 1 week to play Clitheroe in a friendly before finishing again. You know, I think that's quite an apt way to end this season.
It feels ages ago, but hopefully it's not going to be too long before we see football again at Broadhurst Park. And Adrian, keep up the good work. A big thank you for joining us on this week's show. And
no problem, Ben.
Hopefully we'll catch up soon with more positive news for next season.
Well, I think now with the season ending, we draw a line under this season. And I think it's going to be the longest run into a season ever, isn't it? I think probably since the start of the 1945-46 season probably was a bit more of a run-in, but since then we've never had such a build-up to a season. So we've got to keep everyone excited for the next few months until we come back. I think, you know, we can start having players signing new soon and things like that to get us all excited. And then, you know, we've got to keep that excitement going until we come back in July.
FC United board member Adrian Seddon there joining us here on this week's edition of This Club Is My Club. Let's have some more reaction now to the news that for the men's team, the Northern Premier League season has now been curtailed. And down the other end of the phone now, we should be joined by FC United first team manager. It's a welcome back to the show to Mr. Neil Reynolds. Well, Neil, a big thank you for joining us. And obviously, it's not the end to the season that we would have wanted. But What's your take on where we find ourselves now?
You know what, Ben? I'm kind of relieved, if I'm being honest. You know, it's been to and fro. And if you think after the Doncaster game, were we going to restart? Was we not? Are we elite? Are we not? And it's taken, you know, a couple of months, 2.5 months to get to the situation where Northern Premier League have now said it's null and void. So it's a bit of a relief. You know, the players have been asking every week, are we restarting? We just don't have any answers. You know, everyone wanted to get back playing. For me, do I want to go back playing into an empty stadium? Absolutely not. You know, do I miss the FC United fans? Absolutely. You know, and I can now start planning, you know, with my staff for next season. And, you know, when we open the gates at Broadhurst Park, hopefully everyone comes flooding back. And we'll wind the clock back to the South Shields game on the 20th of March 2020 when it kind of all curtailed. So for me, it's a relief. It means I can start planning and you know, although I love playing football, it's you know, all my thoughts are on next season now.
And with regards to the squad and that kind of thing, I mean, one of the main concerns during this period, because for those who are unaware, the National League, in particular, Step 1 and Step 2 of non-league football, they were subsidised to continue to play. And as we know, in recent months, that's all, the rug's been pulled from under them. And they find themselves in the same position we're in now. So that worry that we had that they may, in the higher division, might pick off some of our best players, that's kind of been curtailed due to all this, as well as the season more generally.
The National League, I'd more refer to it as the Vulture League. they've been swinging in from everywhere. But you know what? This is why we've got a special group. And, you know, there's been offers for a lot of my players, Curtis Jones, Michael Donoghue, Adam Dodd, Mike Potts, Dan Cockerline, Mike Fowler, you name it. They've come from everywhere. And only Cockerline's gone for a few games to the League of Wales. But everyone stay put. You know, they don't want to replace what we've got at FC United. And, you know, as frustrated as we all are, everyone can't wait to come back next season. We may lose one, maybe two, but I've spoken to the majority of the squad and we'll be announcing over the coming weeks and months who's staying and hopefully who's staying. I'll announce three, four, maybe five really exciting signings for next season.
Because at this stage, the first season since relegation, we came awfully close. We probably would have finished second and had a really good go in the playoffs. Then this season, you know, after a steady start, it was looked like we were building momentum out of the FA Cup run. What's your target for next season, if I can ask you that at this stage?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm never, you know, I'm always one for saying it as it is, man. I want promotion. You know, I wanted it this season. You know, since going down from the National League, it was a rebuild, wasn't it? And like you said, finishing second, and we had a really good go at it. And who knows, possibly would have gone up in the playoffs. The Manchester Cup that never was, but, you know, for me, I say we won some silverware and we did. And then to get to the first round of the FA Cup and, like you say, build some momentum in the league, it was all there, it was all set up. So next season's no different. You know, obviously people are going to talk about South Shields, Beresford and Buxton and Ashton, you know, the teams with the big budgets. But we proved that it's not about budgets. We've got a really good side at FC. You know, another year on, albeit we haven't played a great deal of football. Add what we all know we need, a couple more front players. Potentially, you know, a different type of midfielder that we're looking to. Definitely bringing in another number 10, which fans will be excited about, and have a good go at it. And that's not us being arrogant. That's, you know, we're FC United of Manchester, you know, with our stadium and our fan base. We deserve to be in the National League. And I put pressure on myself, even though the board don't put pressure on me or the fans. I put pressure on myself now to get us back to where we belong and kick on even further. You know, I was part of the AGM, a few weeks, so it was a really exciting time, and the talks that have happened behind the scene, the work that the board have done, the work that Paul Smith have done, the work that the fans have done, you know, they deserve a higher level of football, and that's no disrespect to the Northern Premier League whatsoever. And if it takes us 1, 2, 3 years to get out of it, so be it. But I'm always going to have the same target, Ben, and that's silverware, you know, another run in the FA Cup and hopefully with fans and getting out of this league, because that's going to be our target. I'm sure that if you ask the rival clubs in and around us, they're going to say the same thing, which will, you know, make for a really spectacular season, especially if fans can be back in the terraces.
And how important is that going to be, that momentum? Because you mentioned, you know, there's going to be a few good news stories, let's call it, over the coming months. And we want a bit of momentum. People are going to be up for it anyway, because hopefully this vaccination programme will have its effect and we can get back to a full stadium at Broadhurst Park 4 next season. How important is it to have a spring in our step as a football club for next year? I'm thinking of games like Lancaster, Warrington, you know, big occasions that we've kind of missed this year.
Of course we have. I mean, it's key, isn't it? I've looked at the current squad. I've looked at, obviously, where we missed, you know, and obviously we missed Tundy's goals. However, you know, we got to the first round of the FA Cup and made a significant amount of money for the club, which is great. Hopefully, you know, we may be able to attract more players. Who knows, if the budget goes up slightly, it won't go up a lot, because we know where we are in terms of paying off the stadium. But we've proved that it's not about money, but it's about momentum. And I'm looking at, you know, two or three of the top forward players in either our league or the one above. And, you know, conversations have already taken place, and I'm confident that we can get them deals over the line, as well as keeping everybody. You know, if you look at the game before the Doncaster game, it was a Warrington at home, and we show real signs of a team that was fast-tracking towards the top end of the table again. But the season were curtailed. We're going to get back in. We've already had two or three staff meetings. We've got another meeting this week. I'm going to update them with our targets. We're tweaking job roles and responsibilities and looking at our scouting network and how we can better that. And I know, like I said, I've just mentioned the board and Paul Smith, you know, the work that's going on behind the scenes to professionalise the club even further. So for me, you know, I'm looking to bring in them four or five bits and looking to retain everybody. Like I said, might lose one or two along the way, but if we do, we do. But our targets are very much at getting two and a bit thousand back through the gates of Broaders and getting on a real run. You know, and that, you know, people will listen to this and go, brilliant. And then if we don't start as well as we, you know, we haven't done it, you know, the season before, people are going to ask questions. But
Neil, I don't think they will. I think it's brilliant anyway, because that's how FC United fans are. I mean, it's just going to be.
I mean, the season is up and down, but, you know, we will win games of football. We're too much talent in that dressing room not to do. What we've got to do is probably tighten up more defensively in terms of shipping goals and continue to kind of, you know, work our opportunities in front of goals. But, you know, I'm well aware of our failings last season. And, you know, replacing Tunney was difficult. We brought Cedric Mayne in, and unfortunately, due to the lockdown period, it couldn't happen. We're very confident Cedric will return. And I will be bringing in another number nine. You know, that's definite, as well as a number 10 player. So, you know, we've got options. You've got your Regan Linneys and Trey Pembertons and Finn Sinclair Smith, Charlie Ennis, Fowler, Cockerline. But I'm still looking for something different. And there will be, you know, there will be good news on the horizon. You know, and as soon as I have it, I'll be letting fans know that our work will be done. But like the season after the National League relegation, I want to do my work early so I can sit down and meticulously plan for the 2021-22 season. And I know the staff share that vision. I know the board share that vision. When Paul Smith, Adrian Seddon and Paul Smith and myself meet every Tuesday now on Zoom at 1 o'clock just to go over key things that are happening in and around the club and what's happening on the playing and management side. So it's all stacking up to a really exciting season. And, you know, people say it seems a long time away. Well, you know, the last 12 months have been tough. You know, last March we went into lockdown and all of a sudden we're going into March tomorrow. So it'll be here before we know it. And, you know, pre-season will be around before we know it. And I just can't wait to see people again and pull on that red jersey. Well, not in my case, pull on the shirt and tie, but the lads pull on the red jersey and go again.
And just to say, obviously, you know, this season's been curtailed and that. Are you hopeful? Because I know there's a hope that grassroots football and junior football might be back at the end of March. Are you hopeful that you'll be able to get the boys back on a training pitch before the end of this season?
Yeah, I mean, we won't come back training. What we will do, Ben, is look to extend the pre-season. And it won't be about running. If you think of last season, you know, we suffered a number of hamstrings and groin injuries, etc. We didn't realise how much fatigue was going to be involved after finishing the March and then coming back at the end of June and kind of going every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday and then cramming the games programme. It took its toll on the likes of Curtis Jones and Doyley and Griffiths and Donoghue, you know, the and Charlie Ennis, everyone missed games. Well, this year, we're going to come back in about 3 weeks early. We're going to do a lot of work on rest and recovery. We're going to do a lot of work on strength and conditioning. And then when we get to the end of June, we've built up our levels of fitness and we've got our kind of our flexibility into our legs and then we'll go at it. So there'll be a slight tweak in pre-season, but, you know, if I take out March, April, May, you know, I'm looking into June and I'm going to see the boys again. So 3 months, 12 weeks, everyone will be given the programme over the close season and we'll be back at it. And we're looking to have an action-packed pre-season programme. We'll probably target about 10 games, but we will space them out more than what we did last year. What we don't want is another repetition of when we played Clitheroe, I think, Trafford, Marine, and we picked up one or two injuries. And, you know, Chaddy, I've had to pull Chaddy back out of retirement for the sixth or seventh time, and he's had to play a Marine away. So we're gonna better plan. But like I said, this is what the staffing meetings are about every fortnight now. So we can gear up for it. And I'm hoping to add some of my backroom staff as well. You know, from a coaching side, I'm looking to potentially bring in another body and tweak a couple of the current roles, looking around the scouting network so we can pick up, you know, the better players in the lower leagues, which we haven't had the opportunity to do so. So all in all, it's, you know, exciting times for me and the staff and the players and everyone connected to FC.
And finally, then Neil, obviously that's looking ahead. I mean, we should reminisce a little bit about the season we've just had, because there has been a lot of positives from this season in all the gloom. And you know, we have to talk about the FA Cup run and, you know, that fantastic result towards the end of play against Warrington. You know, this season has been a bit of a springboard, really, hasn't it, into next year?
I'll be completely honest. My biggest positive of everything has been the rebirth of Michael Donoghue. And I need to say that, you know, after all these personal troubles that he had, and he was open about that, and he wrote about his personal troubles, I think for Mike to come back and to play the way he played. I remember SC Radio, you know, joking about it, that, you know, it was an ongoing thing now that Mike Donoghue was getting man of the match each game. You know, for me, I look back at positives, and potentially we're going to get the best out of Mike Donoghue at 21, 22, and hopefully get him back to where he belongs. And, you know, I look at his performances, and he was only getting better and better, and the team was getting better and better as well. So, you know, he was definitely a catalyst, and he was definitely like a new signing, because, you know, we didn't see that the season before because of personal issues. So to get Mike back doing what he does, and obviously we found his new position in the number four in front of the back four, so, you know, there's going to be stiff competition there. So that was a really pleasing moment for me. But obviously the FA Cup has got to be there. You know, I look back and I probably watched that game back, I don't know, 15, 20 times, as sad as it may be. I have done, you know, but every time I kind of just shrink in the chair a little bit because the fans aren't there. And when Linney scores that goal to get us back into it, if Broadhurst Park was packed, then who knows what would have happened after that. But it wasn't to me. But for me, you know, I remember sitting down with Adrian before the season, and, you know, finances were not tight, but we could have done with an FA Cup run. And for me, to get six figures into the club for an FA Cup run, it makes me immensely proud. And yeah, and it's just helped us on our journey. So that's got to be a moment I'll never forget. And obviously the Warrington game, each sticks along the memory. And, you know, for whatever reason, we have good games against Warrington, FC United. I take it back when they knocked out the FA Cup the season before. We went there after Buckley scored the winning goal, and I wrote in my chapters about what happened at Warrington, and kind of that memory will never go away with the two sets of fans. We then play them in the four all epic, and then we play them, you know, this season in the league, and we beat them 3-1. So, you know, fond memories I've got from this season, but it's been a strange season, a strange year for everything, strange 12 months. And you know, I've still got that memory of Brighton and Enfield and Lewis away, you know, when the fans came. And I'm hoping we can get them days back where we can get away, and, you know, the fans can come away with us. And, you know, hopefully that 2021, 22 is the start of that journey. But, you know, I'll definitely never erase from the memory, even though, you know, the season was null and void the year before we finished second, and this year's null and void. So I think my record as FC manager is relegation. I think that's about it. So, you know, we'll laugh about it, but we'll definitely look to build on our internal successes, and, you know, hope 2021-22 is a good year for everyone associated to FC United.
Absolutely. Well, Neil, a big thank you for joining us. Good luck over the coming weeks, laying down the plans for next season. And when we've got more news, we'll get you back on the show. No problem at all, my friend.
Yeah. No problem, Ben. Great to speak to you.
FC United manager Neil Reynolds there. And a big thank you to Neil and Adrian Seddon early in the show for joining us this week. Remember, for the latest goings-on from the world of FC United, you can visit the website fc-utd.co.uk. But that's it for this week's edition of This Club Is My Club. We'll be back next week with hopefully another FC United Legends episode. But in the meantime, you all make sure that you stay safe. Bye-bye.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.